Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see everybody here. Hey, I want to, and also if you're watching online, thank you for watching. We love that you're watching here at Discover Community Church. I want to say thank you to Anissa, first of all, for being here this morning, and what a wonderful ministry you have. And so thank you. It's so good to see you. I have so many good memories with your dad. Her dad used to be the worship leader at Discover Community Church. Went back, well, back then we were with JFC, and that I'm talking like 10 years ago. And great memories playing with him. That's when I first started on the worship team, playing piano and bass. And so, say hello to your family and good memories. And it's so good to see you again. Hey, isn't the weather really good today? I've heard it's going to be changing soon, but we're going to enjoy today. Winter's got to get here eventually, and we got a great Bronco game this afternoon. The reason I say that, I'm a huge Bronco fan also, but my son is also a Bronco fan, and my son, my grandson, Jaden, and his wife, Laura, for the past, speaking of 10 years, for the past 10 years, they were living in North Carolina, and then they moved to Michigan while Laura was studying to become a doctor, and now she is an orthopedic surgeon, and she's going to be working at St. Joseph Hospital in Denver. That's the hospital my son was born in. But I remember when he was younger, we used to love watching Bronco games together, and this afternoon, we're going over to his house. And for the first time in I don't know how many years, we're going to get to watch the Bronco game together. So excited for that. I want to say it's always an honor and a privilege to get this opportunity to speak. I was listening in the car one day with Sue. We were driving home, and we had on K-Love. I think that's how the jingle goes. We had that, and we were listening, and all of a sudden, the woman that was talking on the radio, like the DJ, she started talking about, you know, I've been thinking recently, I love the Lord Jesus. I believe that he died for my sins, and I believe he is the Lord, the Son of God, and I go to church regularly, and I love to study the Bible, but there's something deeper inside of me that I not only want to continue to do those things, but I want to know him. And when she said that, and she said, I want to know him as an apprentice knows his master. She said that, it really spoke to me. And this morning I'm going to speak to you about the Apostle John. In fact, my message is called The Apostle John, whom Jesus loved, and he loves us as well. And I even want to say that I desire, and I know we all desire in this way, to know him more, even to know him as deeply, as intimately as when John placed his head on the chest of Jesus. So we're going to be talking about knowing God more, wanting to get closer to him. In James 4:8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And drawing near to God begins with a heart of repentance. That's where it always starts, with repentance. A desire to worship him, and then to live our life for him. I'm going to read a wonderful verse in Philippians chapter 3. What a great book Philippians chapter 3 is. And this is verses 7 through 8. It says, this is what Paul wrote, verses 7 through 8. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Two words really speak to me in that verse: the surpassing value of knowing Christ. I don't think we can even come close to knowing the surpassing value. Think about what is most valuable to you compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ. But I want to. I want to at least start to know what that is. This is what I want, and I know this is what we want. This is what the Apostle John wanted, and this is who he was. John says in the Gospel of John in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, regarding his purpose, he declares, "These have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The primary purposes, therefore, are twofold: evangelistic and apologetic. Reinforced that the evangelistic purpose is the fact that the word believe occurs approximately, listen to this, 100 times in the Gospel of John. We've been talking about the synoptics, Mark, or Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They only use this term half as much. So I love this about John. He was a songwriter of the Gospels, the artsy composer. John composed his gospel to provide reasons for saving faith in his readers, and as a result, to assure them that they would receive the divine gift of eternal life. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 4:9, "But now you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. How is it that you turn back to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again?" While salvation is a free gift of God, it brings with it serious responsibility. God requires believers to live a holy life because they are children of a holy God. As children of God, we love God, and we bow in awe to worship the creator of the universe. There's a Christian artist that is probably my favorite of all time. I have many favorites. But if you're a fan, though, and you remember Rich Mullins, I just want to talk about, just take a few moments to talk about a song. And it's called The Color Green. So if you've heard that, if you're a fan of Rich Mullins, you probably recognize the song The Color Green. And this is a song he wrote about, it's a worship song, worshiping God and thanking him for creating the color green. And I started thinking about that. It's like, that's true. God created everything that we see, everything around us. He created the color green. Our wonderful creator. But we know we can't live a holy life on our own. Though we want to sin less, we still sin. In fact, we're going to continue to sin until we're in glory with him in heaven. But the marvelous truth of the gospel is that Christ has met this standard on our behalf. Listen to this wonderful verse found in 2 Corinthians 5:21. You'll recognize it. It says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." He did this on our behalf. He gives us his righteousness. We are made righteous because of what he did for us. May we never forget what grace is. Grace is where you get what you don't deserve. So we can always say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So getting back to the Apostle John, John's name is not in the Gospel of John or in the Epistle of 1 John. For John, it wasn't about him. It was about Jesus. And by the way, that's always the right way to serve. It shouldn't ever be about us. It should be all about our Master, Jesus. The Apostle John, who had dinner with Jesus on the night he was betrayed, and like I said before, then leaned his head on his chest and could feel his heartbeat. And then days later, he ate breakfast with him after he was resurrected from the grave. I think there's a verse that sometimes we overlook. It's found in Luke 2:40. It reads, "And the child," and I'm speaking of Jesus, "grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." I think we hear that verse and we know, well, that's the only verse that's in the Bible that talks about that period of after he was born and Simeon, you know, he held him in his arms and had that wonderful promise of God fulfilled. And then we don't know what happened after that period in Jesus' life until he started his ministry. But I was thinking about what that verse says. Are we growing in the Lord? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out? Are we being filled every day with his wisdom? Are we reading the word of God? Are we soaking in his amazing grace and being filled more and more with his joy? Are we growing in the fruits of the Spirit? If we are not, why don't we start today? So I want to start by giving you some of the background of the Apostle John. I want us to look at and study some of the scriptures found in his epistle, the first epistle, 1 John. And that's where I'm going to be drawing most of my scriptures from today, is from the book of 1 John. So I've been listening to this series on YouTube by Levi Lesko. You might have heard of him, on the book of 1 John. So I was listening to one of his messages, and it just spoke to me so much. I started taking notes, and so a lot of what he said I included in this message. But I only want to speak today for 30 minutes. So I'm going to be only scratching the surface today of the book, or the epistle of 1 John. All right, so let me begin by giving you some background of the Apostle John. John was around 90 years old when he wrote the epistles 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It was almost the end of the first century, 60 years after the crucifixion of Jesus. Most likely the last books to be written of the New Testament. John was the youngest of Jesus' disciples. He was somewhere in his late teens, probably, when he walked with Jesus. John and his older brother James were given by Jesus the name Sons of Thunder. He was part of the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. The three of them had a front row seat to the raising of Jairus' daughter, the transfiguration. Can you imagine? Start thinking about this. The Garden of Gethsemane. Of course, so many more. Oh, by the way, speaking of the Garden of Gethsemane, Sue and I went to Israel in 2019 with JFC Church. I can't tell you what an amazing trip that was. It was obviously a once-in-a-lifetime trip. And I should have a picture of myself. There I am, standing in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, when we went there, it is so quiet and so calm. It's a fairly small area. You know, you're reading the scriptures, you know, what Jesus was praying to his Father. So we got Peter, James, and John were there. You could easily hear what Jesus was saying. It's not that big of an area. The most important thing that John could say is that he loves me. And this is true for all of us. John had seen a lot in his last 60 years. He was the last living apostle. Think about it. He heard, or he might even seen, everything that happened to the other disciples. He was the only apostle who was at the cross. Remember, Jesus said to John, "Please take care of my mother from the cross." And John did for the rest of Mary's life. Here's a question for us. Are we doing, or I should say, how are we doing with the last instruction that Jesus gave to us? I'll come back to this question at the close of my message. So John spent most of his life ministering to churches. Can you imagine as John was speaking in church and having Mary sitting there listening to him? I wonder if she sat in the front row or the back row. Hey, I think it's so funny how all of us always sit in the same spot every week. That's part of our human nature, I know. It's funny. So John had an extensive writing ministry. He wrote three epistles, the Gospel of John, and of course, Revelation. One church father, Priapus, who had direct contact with John, described him as a living and abiding voice. As the last remaining apostle, John's testimony was highly authoritative among the churches. Many eagerly sought to hear the one who had firsthand experience with the Lord Jesus. John, in his later years, lived mostly in Ephesus in Asia Minor. 1 John was written from Ephesus to the churches of Asia Minor. The church in Ephesus was started by Paul. And of course, John and Paul did ministry together at the beginning. Then pastored by Timothy, attended by Mary, pastored by John. And of course, John could say, "I was at the cross when blood and water ran out of his heart. I was invited to put my hand in his side when Jesus appeared to him after the resurrection." 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children," which means my dear ones. God loves his children, and we can have confidence and assurance that we are loved by him. Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorite authors, in his book, Be Real, says, as you read John's letter, you encounter the word no more than 30 times. No Christian, if he is asked whether or not he is going to heaven, needs to say, "Well, I hope so," or "I think so." He need have no doubt whatever. So may I read to you the first four verses of 1 John. And I always love to read some verses directly from my Bible. I love holding it. So this is 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. The message John declares in the book of 1 John is twofold. God is light. He calls all who follow him to walk in the light of his commands. God is love. He requires his people to love one another. So do you know him? Are you walking every day in his light? And are you loving others? 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. As we just sang this morning in the hymn, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Don't you want to fall madly in love with Jesus? Don't you want to have the reality of the joy of the Lord living in your heart every day? Please listen to what I'm going to say next. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. I have some really good news for you. I'm speaking the truth from the Word of God and reminding us what is ahead for the believer in Christ because of what Jesus has done for us, because of his sacrifice on the cross. For whoever places their faith in him, in Christ alone, who believes Jesus is the Son of God. I remember when I was in college, Billy Graham used to come on TV once in a while. I always got so excited when one of his crusades came on TV. I'm sure a lot of you remember watching him. And he always said something that always has stuck with me. This is what Billy Graham said. He said, 100 years from now, all of us in this stadium will be gone. So allow me to say this to all of us. 100 years from now, all of us in this church will be gone. Everyone driving by our church right now, right at this moment, will be gone. Everyone shopping down the street at Walmart will be gone. Everyone who is attending church somewhere else in this city will be gone in 100 years. I have a book by Billy Graham, and the name of the book is Where I Am. We know where we will be. We will be with Jesus. Church, we're in a race that the world's not in. Our goal is to finish well because our primary citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. This is good news of the truth of the Word of God. As children of God, we are loved by God. Here's a great verse in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 23. I know I'm reading a lot of verses, but if I'm reading the verses, I would rather do that than just coming from me. But these verses are so good. I want to give us encouragement this morning. I want us to give us hope. Luke 23, verse 43. And he was saying, I'm speaking of the thief next to Jesus on the cross. Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. He believed. That's all it's needed. He believed. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know. There's the word, know. You may know that you have eternal life. Faith is what overcomes the world. To believe is life. To disbelieve is death. 1 John 5, verses 4 through 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And here may be the most wonderful verse in the book of 1 John. You may call it the believer's bar of soap. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Church, after reading these verses, it doesn't get any better than this for us who believe. Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word. So, if you are struggling with sin, you don't overcome sin by fighting it. You focus on getting closer to God. And he changes the desire of your heart, which leads to spiritual freedom. We are free in Christ. Remember what King David confessed to God about regarding his sin in Psalm 51. This is verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Are you missing the joy of the Lord in your life? Do you want to know the joy of the Lord? It starts with confession and then walking in obedience. Ephesians 4:23 talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Salvation always involves the mind, which is the center of thought, understanding, and belief, as well as our motive and actions. When a person becomes a Christian, God gives them a completely new spiritual and moral capability that a mind apart from Christ can never achieve. Growing in joy is not possible by yourself. The Bible is full of one another's. Growing in joy. So here's how we do it. Bible study. How important is that, to study the word? Hopefully, if you can, every day, even just for a few moments, if that's all the time. But staying in the word is everything. Praying together, encouraging one another, and using your gifts for the church. All of these we do here at Discover Community Church. I am going to, at the end of my message, talk about the new Sing Hymnal. I have a really short video I want to show everybody about it. But I'd like to remind us what Jesus says about us. Because he calls us by name. He calls us his friends. And he calls us his children. 1 John 4:1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. He wants to have a relationship with his children. Knowing him is all about relationship. The author Jen Wilkins says it this way in her book, Women of the Word. The heart cannot really love Jesus if we only know the worldly version of him and not the one true Messiah found in the pages of Scripture. In order to have an authentic relationship with him, we have to take time to get to know him. We have to spend time in the Word. So I'm thankful here at Discover there are several ways to do that. We have our women's Bible study that Pastor Gabe leads every Wednesday night. My wife is a part of that. We have the new Bible study that Kayla has put together and includes questions about what you're reading and learning. Our prayer time we have every Sunday morning at 9:30. And I've been encouraged that a few more people have been coming to that. I cannot say how important that has been in my life. I remember way before I was even asked to lead worship here at the church, I was involved in the prayer time. I remember I used to bring my guitar and play a couple songs. But there's something about that when you decide that you're going to make that commitment, you're with those people. I've been on the prayer team 5 years now, something in there. But there's a bonding that happens when you continue to pray with the same people that nothing else can replace. I think about how important it was for Jesus. You know, he used to need to get away from everybody to spend time alone to pray to his Father. And I always say to myself, if it was that important to Jesus to spend time in prayer with his Father, how much more important is it for us? Prayer changes everything. So as I said at the beginning of my message, I want to know him as an apprentice knows his master, as close as the apostle was to Jesus, the apostle whom Jesus loved, and he loves us as well. So I encourage you to read, study the book of 1 John. Like I said, I just barely scratched the surface of this wonderful book, but there's obviously some amazing verses that encourage us. These things I write so that our joy may be complete. This is the joy. This is how we know him, because he gives us joy, and it's real joy that's only found in knowing the Lord. And one day, as King David wrote in Psalm 16:11, I've always loved this verse, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Now, to answer the question, how are we doing with the last commandment that Jesus gave to us? When you really know the surpassing value of knowing Jesus, you want to tell others about him. You want others to know him in the same way that you know him. So, tell them. As I conclude, I want to talk about our new sing hymnal. And I'm going to play this video first. It's only a minute and 30 seconds. And then I'll finish my message talking a little bit about the hymnal.
My grandfather went to a Presbyterian church just like this one down the road from here. And he sang in the choir for 85 years. And I'll never forget when he finally went into a home and no longer knew my name anymore, he could still sing along to hymns of the faith. Even when he had lost his mind, his memory, and so much of what he held dear in life that had been his security, he could still find a level of consolation and joy and peace in singing the hymns that he'd sung his whole life. We have a grave concern for our generation. When they get to that age, what will they have been singing all their lives?
Hymnals do so many things to help us. They gather a lot of different songs from a lot of different times in history. They meet you as a child, they meet you as a mother, they meet you in the middle years of life, they meet you at the end of life. They speak to all of life in one space.
Traditionally, what a hymnal is trying to do is not the same as the fun songs we sing for a season. You know, it's perfectly right for me to want to sing songs that our kids can hear in their cultural voice. But that's not what a hymn book is doing. A hymn book is giving you the songs you carry with you for life.
So we have always, well, since I've been the worship pastor here from the beginning, it was so important to me that I wanted to do hymns. And we've already been singing a lot of these songs, and I'm so glad about that. And so when I saw this, that this hymnal was coming out, and I think it just came out like a couple months ago, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. I want that for our church. I want to be able to be more intentional about singing hymns, to have the hymnal to have in our hand to hold. He spoke about his grandfather, you know, couldn't remember anything when he got older, losing his mind. Sue's grandfather, Grandpa Roy. He was, I've talked about him before. He was amazing. The most gentle man I've ever known. And he got Alzheimer's. He lived with us for a while. And I remember what it was like. But he could, at the end, he told me he could still remember the songs that he sang in church from the hymn. That's powerful. So I remember hearing about the Gettys, you know, the husband and wife that are, you saw in the video. I never heard about them until there was a time when I retired from teaching, that four-year period. I was still serving on two different worship teams before I became the leader here. And I was listening to this podcast about, you know, how to pick worship songs. And they said, if you want sound biblical lyrics, sing the songs from the Gettys. And so I remember, I still have it in my notebook at home. And I wrote it down. And it's like, and then I started listening to their songs because they've written all these modern hymns also. Like in the hymnal, there's like 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord. I think we're going to sing that next Sunday. You know, they have a lot of the modern hymns in there too. And that's what I want for all of us, because as I talked about in my message, I want us to become closer to him. And what a way, another avenue to become closer to him by having these hymnals, know him more. So these are the songs that you carry through life. And I really believe also that the younger generation are going to be excited about these songs. They may never even heard these songs. So it's a great thing. So I hope everybody's excited. I wanted to thank, I don't know who put together the hymnal stand Pastor Bob was talking about. I came here Thursday night. Tim, thank you. I didn't want you to be anonymous. Appreciate you doing that. It's all about using our gifts, isn't it? About serving. Yeah. So let's pray. So Lord Jesus, our heart's desire is always to know you more. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for the forgiveness of sins, for if we trust in your name, Lord, if we accept you in our heart by faith alone, that you forgive us our sins and you give us eternal life, Lord. So we are thankful for all you've done for us, Jesus. But also in our Christian walk, as we walk in the Spirit, we want to know you in a deeper, closer way, just as the Apostle John, so close when he put his head on your chest, Lord. We want to know you in that way and really know you, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Change us from the inside out. Help us to spend more time in your word, to pray together, to have fellowship with one another, to encourage each other. Those are the things that you want and that are the most important, Lord. Thank you for your gift of eternal life that only comes through your Son, Lord Jesus. We believe and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to take communion as always. We'll have two lines. You can come up to take communion. We always have self-serve in the back. So thank you guys for listening to me today. I appreciate you being here. And we're going to continue to worship. So.